where he's thrown him down, he could be the rabble or the Russian czar. Judge each creature of a race by each feature in his face. Just look at him. I rest my case. Well, there you are.
There you are.
And it matters not to me what part of town you come from. We've a cheer, you've made it here at all.
Here in the garish, garish, cold, the music
Cribbett Holmes became the first person to solely win Tonys for Best Book, Music, and Lyrics when his Mystery of Edwin Drood appeared on Broadway in 1986. And now, over a quarter of a century later, it's back in a fun, raucous production that's just been given a four-week extension. We are joined now not only by Cribbett Holmes, but by two of the show's wonderful cast members, Jim Norton and Jesse Mueller. Welcome to all.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Rupert, what attracted you to this project? Dickens, or that it's a mystery?
I think when I first read it, I thought that the story had all the makings of a very interesting musical. The protagonist of it is a crazed choir master who is madly in love with his music student. And the challenge, I thought, to making it into a musical, because I was interested in doing it at that time, was what do you do about the fact that Charles Dickens never lived to finish the story? And then I thought quite quickly after that, well, what could be more theatrical than to have the audience assist in the conclusion, in creating an ending for the show that might be different every single night?
So you read this as when you already were in show business.
Yeah.
And were you already thinking of songs as you were reading the book?
Actually, there were a couple of titles, a couple of phrases in the novel that turned into songs in our show.
Now, what about you, Jim? Did you read the book in preparation for doing the show?
No, I read the book many years ago. Yeah, I remember reading it and being intrigued by it. I didn't read it on this occasion because, in fact, Rupert did indicate in his notes that keep the actors away from the book because they're not going to find anything in there that's going to be of any benefit to the show. But the show is so fabulous.
But that's because the show isn't really about the book. Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. What about you, Jesse? Have you read it as well?
I did read it as well. I read it, I think, maybe during the audition process or shortly thereafter. And I think I find found the same thing as Jim, and that Rupert suggested in the notes that, I mean, there's information to be gleaned from the book for sure, but then I felt like I had to find the line between the purpose my character served in the book and then the purpose my character serves in the play.
Because this is not a musical based totally on the book. In fact, what makes it so enjoyable is that, Rupert, you've transformed the novel into a show within a show, set in a Victorian music hall where the actors, part of a touring troupe from London, are putting on a very spirited production of Dickens' work. So it becomes something like Monty Python doing Shakespeare, yeah, or Robin Williams doing Tennessee.
Good. Accurate description, I'd say, yes. It's that when you attend Studio 54, the theater has been transformed into the Music Hall Royale of 1895 in London, some 25 years after Dickens died.
Well, you're not a Brit. How did you know about music halls? Jim might know something about that.
Well, yes, I do. Yeah, of course.
You know all the lyrics to My Old Man Said Follow
exactly.
The Man.
Yeah, because I grew up in Ireland where we had music hall as well. It was hugely popular when I was a kid, so I saw a lot of it, yeah.
Well, actually, people don't know this from my accent, but I was born outside of Manchester. My father was an American GI who married a wonderful, literate British woman after World War II. And my first 3 years of life were spent outside of Manchester.
So that's when you learned all these music hall jokes?
Well, the first time I was – not – no. Most of those have been around for about 300 years now. But I did – when I was 3 years old, I did attend something a little equivalent to a music hall, which is an English Christmas panto. And I think it made a profound effect on me.
Was it your idea to take the pressure off the audience trying to figure out – what happened in the novel, since Jim and Jesse, you're not so much playing the characters in the novel, but music hall characters?
Yeah, that's right. I play the chairman. The chairman is the actor manager. He's the proprietor of this theater, and he is the one who runs the company. So they've got together. It's a last-ditch chance to make some money for the company and keep them afloat. So he has this brilliant idea of doing an adaptation of The Mystery of Edwin Drood with music and songs.
Even though nobody knows how it ends.
Well, that's the intrigue.
Because Dickens died.
Exactly.
Do you think Dickens had an idea of
who done it?
Oh, I'm sure he had.
Or whether it was done?
Yeah, I think he wrote, what, 6 episodes? It was in episodic form. And I think they sold something like 5,000 copies every month.
Wow.
So, Jesse, will you fill us in on the plot?
Yeah, sure. Well, as far as the Dickens play goes, we sort of, it starts, we meet Jasper right off. So he sort of, it becomes one of the central characters. And as Rupert was saying, he's madly in love with this woman he can't have. So you've got unrequited love right off the top of the bat. And then his nephew is coming in to visit. And everything sort of ensues from there, jealousy and entitlement and all these things. And from there you get the mystery of what happens to this character of Edwin Drood. And then, as Jim was saying too, then you have just the sort of the crazy hilarity that ensues with these music hall actors sort of handling this sort of precious dramatic material and sort of what happens with that.
Yes, and there are certain songs that we always perform, regardless of what the show is, so they have to be interpolated into the show, and that's part of the fun.
The production is going merrily along, and then in mid-song, you suddenly run out of steam because that's when Dickens stopped.
Exactly. That's when the chairman says, it was at this moment, ladies and gentlemen, that Charles Dickens laid down his pen forever. And then we turn to the audience and say, you got to decide what happens next.
So part of acting is looking like this whole thing is getting out of control when you actually are obviously just doing your part.
That's true, yes. Acting is the great imaginative leap you have to make in order to become somebody else. At that moment, that's what we do. But it's a wonderful moment in theater because literally the show stops. And sometimes the audience are not sure whether this is something dreadful has happened or not.
Are the both of you having as much fun as you appear to?
I can honestly
that also
say
acting?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not acting.
That's
it's
not
a
acting.
Joyous, joyous experience. It's a fabulous company. It really is a great group of people. And we have a wonderful time, as do the audience.
Yeah. We're talking with Jim Norton and Jesse Mueller, two of the stars of Mystery of Edwin Drood, now at the Roundabout Theatre Company's production at Studio 54. And Rupert Holmes, who wrote the book, music, lyrics, and orchestrations?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did those as well.
Wow.
Man of many parts.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rupert, how did you come up with the notion of having the audience decide who killed Edwin Drood?
Well, audiences affect performances at every play and every musical you ever see. But I thought, what if you could build that into the structure of the piece so that the audience literally votes on key questions about the plot and has an effect on the outcome so that, well, there's actually, if you count every combination of ending, I'm not saying endings, but every combination of different questions, there's over 400 endings to this show, some of which I've actually never seen those particular combinations. And I'm seeing some at Studio 54 right now that I've never seen before.
So you had to rehearse a whole bunch of different possible endings.
Yeah, we have to be ready. I mean, to us, that's the really exciting thing. We do not know how the show is going to end until the audience decide. And then the actors who are concerned in the scenes that they have chosen have to be ready to, sometimes at like a very short notice, to get on and do it. And that's so exciting.
Do audiences tend to vote the same way most nights?
You know, just when I think that we've got the sort of plot of how it goes or what happens on one night or if a crowd is acting one way or the other, it's like they turn it on its head and we get something that we haven't had for a while or that's unexpected.
There's no way of knowing.
No, there really isn't.
Well, how could you rehearse without an audience there? For you, Jim,
well, that's
especially
always,
as the MC.
We were just talking about that before we came in. Yeah, that's difficult. I was rehearsing to a wall for 6 weeks, but I kept hoping that one day that wall would you know.
Well, I've been in a few audiences like that. Like walls.
Oil paintings.
Yeah. That was a difficult thing. I've actually, because the chairman does talk a lot, mainly to the audience. So if there's no audience there, apart from a director and some people sitting at the table, it makes it difficult. But it all came right once we got into the theater.
Jesse, you play Helena Landless. Mm-hmm. She must be a lot of fun to play, kind of like slipping into another culture. But you're wearing a bustle?
Oh, I'm wearing a bustle. I'm wearing a bustle like you've never seen before.
Is that as awkward to walk around with as it would appear to be?
You know, it's not really awkward to walk around in, but I do not envy women from that time. And I've always been fascinated with costuming and different periods and how beautiful it is. But, oh, man, if I had to be in a corset and a bustle all day, like, there was a reason why women didn't do very much and they wrote letters and you hoped you were rich so you could just sit all day.
Now, you are one of the possible candidates.
Yes, mm-hmm. For several things.
And you must have been pleased with Terry Teachout's review where he wrote, "A word to the wise, the killer gets to sing an extra song in the last scene, so vote for Ms. Mueller."
Oh, that's very kind.
You didn't know he said that?
No, I honestly don't read reviews.
Jesse doesn't read reviews.
I made the...
Actors always say that, but I never believe
it. I know. It's true, though. I mean, I can only say that it is true because there was a time when I did, and that was when I made the decision not to anymore, just because... And with this piece too, especially, it's a precious thing, and it changes every night, and it's that audience's show that night. It's not the show that the reviewer saw. It's partly that, but it's a special thing that changes every night.
Yes, that's what makes it so unique. I think that each audience sees a show that nobody else sees.
It's actually the real surprise, because I've seen other shows where the audience was supposed to have participated, and then you figure out later that was all part of the setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
This is real. We post the results of that evening or that afternoon's voting as you exit the theater. How many votes for each candidate is listed, and it's all on the up and up, and it's different so often.
Mm-hmm.
I should point out that this cast also includes one of my favorite people in the world, Cheetah Rivera.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She
wonderful.
Plays a London dope peddler.
Yeah. Well, typecasting, you know.
That she does.
And she's such a joy to work with, and she's just an extraordinary woman.
Yeah.
Great talent.
Now, Rupert, in your other life, you wrote a pop chart winner, Escape the Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
So how did you make the transition into musicals?
I had always wanted to write for theater. I just didn't know anyone who was in theater. And I thought maybe if I made records that told stories, there were story songs, narratives, sometimes even with sound effects or dialogue, maybe someone would catch on to that. And eventually Joseph Papp, who produced A Chorus Line, became an avowed fan of my work and invited me to write a musical. And I had this idea for a long time, tucked away as the thing I wanted to write first.
And mystery is always important to you.
Yes.
Don't you have an upcoming series for Simon & Schuster called The McMaster's Guide to Homicide?
Yes, Murder Your Employer is our first volume. I figure a lot of people will buy that volume just to leave it on their desk at work.
Just a hint.
Yeah, I'm very pleased.
I've only worked for people who wanted to murder their employees.
Well, Mystery of Edwin Drood also won the Edgar Award from the Mystery Writers of America, and I'm very pleased about that.
Now, Jim, you've been all over the place coming on this show to talk about Port Authority, Finian's Rainbow, mm-hmm. The Faith Healer. Have you always appeared in musicals?
No, I haven't. I mean, shall we say late in life he discovered musicals. I think the reason I did Finian's Rainbow is because I'd been in The Seafarer, and in one of those scenes when the character I was playing was drunk, I sang. And the producers heard me sing and thought, oh, he could play Finian. So that's how Finian's Rainbow happened for
also,
me.
Also, movies, Incredibly Loud and Incredibly Close, Water for Elephants, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. But what fascinates me most is that you did the audiobook for Finnegan's Wake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. I wouldn't know where to begin.
Well, that was pretty an alarming experience, yeah. But I have done all of James Joyce now, yeah.
And, Jesse, you've been in a number of musicals. On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever. Into the Woods for Shakespeare in the Park, mm-hmm. just this summer. Do you remember the first musical you saw when you got the bug?
Ooh. I think the first musical I remember seeing was 1776. I think I was... like 4 years old, mm-hmm. which I don't know why my parents let me in the theater that young. But I came from an acting family, so we were taught pretty early on how to behave and have an appreciation for it. But I remember just being mesmerized by that show.
Well, this seems like a perfect Christmas show. So
the murders occur at Christmas on Christmas Eve,
and it's been extended till when?
March 10th.
Mm-hmm. Till March 10th.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. So. If you want tickets, you can always check out our show page at WNYC.org for more information about tickets and prices and those other things. A Mystery of Edwin Drood is playing at the Studio 54. That's at 254 West 54th Street now through March 10th. And it was a Tony Triple Crown winner, Rupert Holmes was.
And the musical, too. And we have an incredible cast this time around.
Yeah, we have
around.
Will Chase, who's Stephanie J. Block. I mean, it's bursting with
blessed,
talent.
Blessed.
And I get a chance to enjoy those performances every night as I'm on stage most of the time.
You actually watch other people's
performances?
Yeah,
you have to watch
I sit in awe of the incredible talent that's on that stage.
That's not distracting for an actor?
To know that Jim Norton is watching you? Sometimes it's a little, Now that I know him, it's not so intimidating anymore.
Jim Norton plays the chairman and Mr. William Cartwright. Jesse Mueller plays Helena Landless and Miss Janet Conover. And I want to thank all three of you for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.